The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Last night in my Monday night Mishle Shir, then one of my students pointed out that the pasuk we were learning didn't tell us what we should or shouldn't do. Shlomo HaMelech basically just stated certain facts and didn't direct us towards any particular practical application. And the student wanted to know why he phrased the pasuk that way. So I responded that it wasn't just our pasuk, that this is something that Mishle does in general. And I mentioned that I had written an article about this and said I would share it with them. And I figured that once I'm sharing the article, I might as well make an audio version of it. So this is an article I wrote on August 4th, 2015, called Musar Without Shoulds and Shouldn'ts. And again, Musar here is being used in the sense of the study or the science, not science, the study of character development and decision making. Literally, translation of Musar is discipline, but I mean this in the sense that Mishle uses it. So without further ado, Musar Without Shoulds and Shouldn'ts. Don't should on me is an aphorism which my Mishle Rebbe is fond of saying in response to people using the word should. This saying is consistent with his general approach to Mishle, to Musar, and to life. Unlike many approaches to Musar, which involve many shoulds and shouldn'ts, there is only one should in my Mishle Rebbe's derech. You should learn. His derech is built upon a simple but powerful premise. Chachma, wisdom, changes people. And not just any chachma, but the type of chachma that Chazal were referring to when they said, who is a chacham? One who sees the consequences of his actions, from Maseches Tamid 32b. The type of chachma which is the subject of the book of Mishle. My Rebbe's theory is that if you can gain knowledge of consequences and you keep reviewing that knowledge from as many angles as you can until it's crystal clear, that knowledge will eventually start to become real to you. And once it's real to the point where you not only know the consequences but really see them, then that knowledge will begin to change your emotions, your behavior, and your decision-making. All you need to do is keep learning and keep reviewing. Over time, your chachma will become real to you and you will transform and will transform you into a different person. In this derech, there is no need for shoulds and shouldn'ts. To the contrary, shoulds and shouldn'ts can be harmful since they threaten to supplant chachma with authority, i.e. superego or conscience, as the motivating factor in one's behavior. My Mishle Rebbe always reminds us that he has a terrible memory when it comes to sources. Oftentimes, when we ask him about the source of an idea he quoted, he'll just say, I got it from learning Mishle. I can't be more specific than that. I must admit that when I first started learning with him, these attributions to Mishle didn't sit well with me. I couldn't help but wonder, is this really what Mishle teaches, or is this just my Rebbe's idea which he sees in Mishle, but which I might not? The more I learned with him, the more I gradually came to realize how many of his ideas were explicitly stated right there in Mishle and in its Mefarshim. My Rebbe's approach to Musar, which I described above, made sense to me from an early age. The more I learned Mishle, the more convinced I became that my Rebbe was correct, and that this derech of Musar was indeed the derech of Shlomo HaMelech himself. Still, it bothered me that I never saw this approach explicitly spelled out in Mishle or in its Mefarshim. That changed today. I had been learning chapter 13 of Mishle with my Mishle Rebbe, and we stumbled upon a little paragraph in the Meiri's commentary to Mishle 13.5. The Meiri writes, quote, we have already explained above, in Mishle 6.12, that teaching someone that something is bad is bad is half of the rebuke. Let me say that one more time. Teaching someone that something bad is half of the rebuke. Likewise, teaching someone that something good is half of the motivation to improve oneself. Therefore, the majority of Shlomo HaMelech's statements do not contain any direct commands. Rather, his statements convey knowledge about something good that it is good in order to motivate a person to do it, and knowledge about something bad that it is bad to motivate a person to refrain from it. End quote. The Meiri referred us to an earlier place in his commentary where he states this principle in different terms and explains how it works. So this is a quote from Meiri on 6:12, Mishle 6:12. The wise man said, knowledge that a thing is bad is half of tshuva, repentance, and teaching someone that a thing is bad is half of tochacha, of rebuke. In other words, once a person knows that something is bad, it will be easier for him to subdue his emotions and to do teshuvah from it. That being said, once the Chacham informs someone that it is bad and is the action of scoundrels, that is like a rebuke and a warning not to do it. End quote from the Meiri. The Meiri stated exactly what my Mishle Rebbe has been saying for all these years. Shlomo HaMelech's approach to Musar doesn't involve telling us you should do such and such or you shouldn't do such and such. Rather, Shlomo HaMelech merely teaches us the benefits and consequences of good and bad decisions, and that knowledge itself changes our emotions and decisions without any need for explicit commands. It is important to note that Shlomo HaMelech could have easily conveyed this knowledge and also formulated his teachings as shoulds and shouldn'ts, but he didn't. Why not? because of what I wrote earlier, that shoulds and shouldn'ts are fueled by the superego, making it harder for the chachma itself to influence our behavior. Or perhaps because he didn't want us to fall into the trap of labeling certain actions as inherently good or inherently bad. Or maybe it was because he didn't want to limit our application of his lessons to the particular case. Whatever the reason, the fact remains that Mishlei, despite its identity as a book of Musar, contains very few shoulds and shouldn'ts. In my opinion, the Meiri and my Mishlei Rebbe give us a very compelling explanation for why this is the case. Should you accept this answer? That is something for you to decide for yourself. And that's the end of the post. And I just wanted to add as a postscript, the reason why, so the Mishlei Rebbe I'm talking about, surprise, surprise, is Rabbi Moskowitz. The reason why I didn't write that here is because in 2015 when I was writing, then I wanted to keep my blog completely separate from, or completely, I guess, anonymous. And so I didn't want to quote the names of my Rebbeim, but obviously full credit goes to Rabbi Moskowitz for this idea and for everything in my life. Pretty much as far as learning goes. So there you go. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.